Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Welcome to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We're here with Joe Barber, as all we know as Chicken Joe.
Hey, welcome everybody. Thanks for tuning in again this week. This week I got a really interesting show. I wasn't going to do what I was going to do, but I had a woman call in about buying baby chickens and they're dying on her. And that was the third person in a few months that has contacted me about that. So I thought, well, maybe we better start right back at basics. So I said, well, that's what we'll do. So
start
that's what we're going to go.
Life-saving measures from the very start.
But before we get started on that, I was just out and doing my books on my chickens and turkeys. I keep detailed records of everything that happens on my farm every day. And it was really interesting. I told you about the 77 turkeys that I bought as chicks. I bought those July 17th. And up to now, they've already eaten over a ton of food. I was just amazed.
Wow.
And that's not counting their vegetables. That's just grain. Matter of fact, it's 2,400 and something pounds of grain they've already eaten. And I'm going, wow. You know,
and that doesn't even count any of the bugs or veggies or anything else they've eaten.
No, and boy, I'll tell you, they're not bashful about eating. Boy, I was really surprised the amount of food that those guys are eating. But anyway, that was that. And so anyways, I wanted to talk about raising baby chicks because, like I say, I had a woman come to me this week, and her children, she had three children. Well, she has three children. And her husband decided.
The children survived, just not the baby
chicks. Yeah, they
chicks.
Did. And they bought six or eight baby chicks. They had them shipped to them. And she says to me, Joe, they only lasted like a couple days and they died. And it was a few months earlier, I had a man and his wife came up to my farm and they said, we bought these baby chicks. And I don't know, the place that sold them to us, they were sick or something. So, but it all went back. And the last three people that I had talked to in recent months didn't do their homework on raising baby chicks. They just bought them, put them in a box, put them on the back porch and put some water and food in there, and within a few days they died. So I talked to the woman, and she was very distraught, and the kids were upset, and the husband says, I built a coop out in the yard and the whole thing, and so I talked them out of it. I talked them off the ledge anyway, but we went through, and I come to find out, you know, like I say, they didn't do any other homework on raising baby chicks. So I decided, well, I talked to her and I talked to these other people and I said, well, maybe other people that are listening to the show that want to get into chickens or whatever might do the same if they didn't do their homework. But it's very important. These chickens have to have 95 degree heat on a constant basis for at least a week. And then you lower the temperature after that. And that's what these people weren't doing. None of them. They put them in a box, which is good. A cardboard box, and you put some shavings, and you put your water and your food. But these people weren't taking care of their chicks. The temperature has to be 90 to 95 degrees on the first week, constantly. And this woman put them in a box, put a towel over it, and put them on the back porch. And I told her, I said, at room temperature, they'll die because they don't have any feathers. And
that's right. They're really all just... They're fuzz. So adorable, but it's just fuzz. If you hold them in in your hand, they don't weigh anything, and they have no insulation to them.
That was the problem. And she says, well, I didn't know that. I thought all that fuzz was going to keep them warm, like down. I said, no. And come to find out, she had put down like little Tupperware dishes of water, and the chickens got wet. And once they get wet like that, they just get cold and die. And I said, no. You got to go buy the little chick water, you know, that comes down, and they can just, you know, just enough for them to get their beaks in to drink. You know, they make these chick water just for baby chickens.
Huh.
And they didn't know that. And I said, yeah. And you have to buy the chick food, which she did. And this husband and wife team did. But again, they just put them out on the porch. And I thought, wow, there you go. So I asked both all of these people. I said, did you read up on the internet or buy a book or anything? No. We just bought them and put them in a box. I thought, wow. Yeah, well, there's your problem. So, you know, I went through the whole thing, and I just wanted to tell people that you do have to keep these things at 90 or 95 degrees, and you lower the temperature 5 to 7 degrees a week until it gets down to around 70 degrees. And by that time, at 3 weeks, they're growing little feathers, and they can handle the average temperature, unless it's extreme winter or anything. But around here in the summer, that's perfect. So it's just and they asked me about lights and whatnot,
what do you use to heat like a box like that? Because you don't want to get them too hot either, right?
No. If you have a few chickens, the best thing to get that I have found is those big, you go to like a, you know, like Target or Walmart, the plastic container things, you know, that you store stuff in, clothes or whatnot. You can almost see through them. And I take the top off and get a screen and put a screen on the top of that, and you get one of those lamps that contractors use. They're like aluminum, and you put the bulb in there, like a heat bulb. And that works really well. You just lay that down on top of the screen, and that gives you about 18 inches of distance, which is perfect on one end of the container. And the chicks, when they get warm, they'll move to the other end. They'll get out of there, you know. And so that's the best thing. Of course, if you get a lot of chickens and you don't have a brooder for them, you go get a refrigerator box. You know, if you got, but that's the best way to go. And again, you know, put a screen over the top of it and get your lights, get a couple of lights. And they're like the spotlights with the aluminum casing over them. And you just set that on top of the screen. And I say about 18 inches from the floor is a good measurement. And you put the feed and the water close proximity to that, and you should have no problem. You know, like I say, you just lower the temperature every week. But usually what'll happen after 3 weeks, it's pretty much they get their feathers, and they don't really need the light. And then it's time to think about moving them into their coop wherever they're going to go, and make sure it's well secured so nothing can get in and get them, cats, dogs, or that sort of thing. So that's the story on you know, getting the baby chicks in there. And we talked a lot about, you know, what do you put on the bottom, and everybody wanted to know. And I tell them pine shavings is the best that I'd found. That's what I use. I buy that stuff by the truckload, and that really works well.
That's funny, because a lot of times with small animals, like, you know, hamsters and gerbils, people say don't use pine shavings. Well, they're there for your chickens. That's what they're there for.
Yep. I like it. I don't like things. I've seen people use like kitty litter and that sort of thing, but the chicks try to eat it, and that's why I don't like that. Because a lot of kitty litter, when they're young, they don't know. They're just young, and they eat anything.
That's right. They have a limited instruction set.
But,
well, we're almost out of time for this segment, Joe. But I'm sure we'll be back with lots more with Chicken Joe, all things birds and poultry and chicken, here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. all natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial. No sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Chicken Joe on All Paws Pet Talk.
Hey, yeah, we've been talking about baby chicks and all the do's and the don'ts of trying to raise these things the right way and not having them die on you and suffering the disappointments of having, you know, bought the chickens and losing them.
If someone's going to start out raising chickens, do you recommend that they start small first? You know, you mentioned getting a refrigerator box if you're going to get a lot of baby chicks. That would be very, very scary to me. Should they start with like a half dozen or so? Or what do you recommend?
Yeah, I do. I recommend that. There's some of the hatcheries that'll mail you just three chickens, but there's some of the bigger hatcheries. You have to buy a minimum of 25. But if you look around, oh, yeah, and that's why I say refrigerator box. So, like, if you and your friends decided y'all going to split 25 chickens, you could do that. But there is some hatcheries out there that'll sell you a minimum of three chicks, and they don't like to ship less than three chicks because they like them to huddle together to keep them warm. Because from the hatchery to the time you get them could take up to 3 days before you get them. So they're a little stressed by the time you get them. So they usually will put in extras in case, you know, some one or two or three die. So you're always good about that. They always put in extras. But, That's the way to go. But if you can buy just a half a dozen or eight, that's the way to go. Because you got to remember, after 6 months, they'll start laying an egg a day. So you're going to be getting potentially six eggs a day for quite a while. So most people, six eggs a day, you know, you're going to have quite a few eggs. You're going to have plenty to share with your neighbors and your in-laws and your brothers and sisters for a while. But
that's right. You know, one of the cousins has chickens, and at a family event, I think it was Thanksgiving, she had said, oh, darn, I can't believe I drove all the way here. She's in Vermont. Thanksgiving was in New Hampshire. And she said, and I forgot I had three dozen eggs to bring to share with you all. And at the end of the day, I said, you know, Ellen, there's this almost a whole quiche left. Why don't you take that? You have four people at your house. And she said, I have six hens. You should take it.
That's true. When I first started this, and it was really funny, when the eggs start coming and they don't, there's no shutoff switch, you know, it's just every day there's more eggs. And my sister-in-law was getting eggs, and whether she wanted them or not, I'd bring them down. And she'd say, that's it. We don't need any more eggs. And I was giving them to the lady at the hardware store. It was really funny. It was really, really funny. And then I started, like I say, accidentally got into the farmer's market thing, and then I didn't have enough eggs. So then comes the onslaught of chickens, you know. So now, like I say, when I buy baby chicks, we buy them by the hundreds. So,
but you've had a few years experience at this.
Oh God, yeah, I've been doing this quite a while now. We've been doing this, wow, I think 18, 19 years raising chickens. And it's a new adventure every day. They teach you something new every day. You know, there's not many days that'll go by I don't see something. I go, wow, what happened here? Or what's going on here? But the best thing, like I say, if you're going to buy baby chicks and they're going to be like for children and whatnot, is to handle them frequently. If you do that, they become pets. They look forward to you coming over, and they'll actually run to you instead of away from you. So I tell, that's the other thing I tell people. You know, if you want them for pets, you got to handle them. You got to play with them. Make sure you wash your hands and everything. And the other thing that just came out, I had noticed all this chicken owners and whatnot is the new light bulbs now are they're finding they're killing chickens. They give off a I don't know if it's odor or something off in the light, a gas or whatever, but those new light bulbs are killing chickens, and they're warning everybody. So don't use those new light bulbs. The curly ones that you see, the energy savers. They're finding now are killing chickens. So,
and of course they don't give off as much heat as an incandescent bulb, and the heat is why you've got them there in the first place.
Yeah, that's the thing. So that just came down. That was interesting. Of course, I never would use those, but a lot of people will use them for lights in their little barns or sheds or whatnot, not just for heat, but for light. And they're warning everybody not to use them around chickens at all. So that was just a little warning that everybody ought to, heed, I guess. But
that's right. Joe, I had a question. If somebody is getting into having chickens for the first time, is there a particular breed that they should go for? Are there some chicks that you can buy that tend to be hardier than others?
Yeah, I tell you, the ones that I like that I use here on the farm is Rhode Island Reds are a good one, and the other ones that I like are the Golden Buffs. That's the mainstay of my farm. Now I love Golden Buffs. They don't tend to be flighty. What I mean by flighty is when you go near them, they jump or they try to fly away from you. These are really a calm chicken. I like those. Yeah, you want to stay away from the chickens. I had them a list here of the chickens you shouldn't get and the chickens you should get. If you really want to have a fun chicken, you get these Jersey Giants. These Jersey Giants, they can grow to be really big chickens, but they're really, really friendly chickens. And I have never had any personally, but I've talked to so many people that have had them. They said, oh, Joe, you got to try a Jersey Giant if you want a pet. So that might be one you want to get. But
if you have room for them, though.
Yeah, yes. But in the backyards are a lot of fun. If you got room in your backyard for a half a dozen chickens, that's just great. That's the way to go. But the other thing I just wanted to get on people that were starting to get chickens is there's like three golden rules that they tell you is don't keep any more chickens than you have space for, and keep no more chickens than you have time to care for, and that's the other good one, and the third rule is keep no more chickens than you can afford to maintain, and that's a good one when it came to like turkeys. That's when I found that, when I suddenly realized, God, I've gone over a ton of food here in a short period of time. So those are just little rules that people don't expect or don't think about when they get into chickens.
That's right. We've only got a couple minutes left, but can you give us a quick rule of thumb? Is how do you tell how much room you have for chickens?
Okay.
Should you have a square yard per chicken, or how much room do you need for a chicken?
Okay, well, I usually like to have at least 2 to 3 square feet per chicken, and that's inside and outside, and then you're good, because if you crowd them too much, then they start pecking each other and that sort of deal. So I like to have at least 2 to 3 square feet per chicken. That's a good rule of thumb that I like. Like floor space. They say 1.5 feet per chicken, but I usually like to go 2 to 3 feet. Give them a little bit of room. And a lot of people ask me, should I just feed my chickens continually? And I'll say, well, I got mine geared up where a chicken needs 5 ounces a day each of grain. That's not counting whatever else they're going to get. But I gear my chickens for 5 ounces a day. And you can give them extras, the lettuce and the carrots off the table and that sort of thing. But that's how I figure, my feed when I buy my feed. So people are always asking me that, and plenty of water, fresh water. They got to have fresh water. A chicken will drink on a hot day, will drink 16 ounces of water, which is
wow.
I found. Oh, yeah. Because they need the water to make the eggs and whatnot. But on a hot day, they're wearing a full set of feathers.
That's right. They've got the bird equivalent of their own fur coat in there. So they need their hydration. We're running out of time for this segment, Joe. And so I'm going to say we'll be back with more with Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk. And our website, if you want to go to that, is allpawspettalk.com, and you can even see his picture.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back with Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk.
Yeah, we're talking about keeping baby chickens today. That's the talk, because we've had a lot of people that have had problems because they didn't do their homework. So I'm trying to clear that up for everybody. I hope we have so far. If there's any questions, you know, I'd love people to call in or write or email or something to
That's
talk
right.
about.
Anybody who has questions, if they go to allpawspettalk.com, there's a form right there on the homepage. You can just type your question right there, and we can make sure it gets to Country Joe if it's a chicken question, particularly.
Yeah. Now, we were talking about chickens that are, you know, that are really good as pets and whatnot. And like I said, the ideal, the small ones are really good too. We talked about the Jersey Giants, but there's a little one called a Surma, and he's a little bit bigger than a pigeon. That's the one I told you, the smallest breed of chicken in the world. I mentioned that last week.
Yeah, how do you spell that?
Okay, it is spelled S-E-R-A-M-A.
Okay, just in case anybody wants to Google that to find a little picture of a Surma chicken.
Yeah, and they're cute. I mean, they come in three different sizes. The smallest one is measured, I think they're around 12 ounces in that area. So you can see how small they are. They actually keep these in cages, not coops, because they are so small. But these are the ideal pet. Everybody says that these are the way to go. If you want a real small chicken, you don't want to get the big Jersey Giant, but the big Jersey Giants are kind of like the lazy big dog, you know, they just follow you around, and they're really friendly and fun. And
they're like the St. Bernard of the chicken world.
Yeah, they are. And the little ones are a lot of fun. I know a lady that has several of them, and they are fun. I mean, they follow you around. You can pick them up. Again, you know, as chicks, she kept picking them up and playing with them, and the more you do it, they're just like any other pet. They just love to be handled, and they love to be pruned, like you peck their feathers on their neck, and it's like you're pruning them, and they love that. And they'll actually do pull the hair on your arms if they can. They're helping you out, and
it's a mutual thing.
Yeah, it's a mutual thing. That's exactly it. So those are the two ideal ones. But mine, if you want to get the flying breeds, you know, are like the Leghorns, the old English game hens. Those are rough to take care of. The Hamburgs and the Campines, those are rare ones. Those are flying breeds. Those, if they get loose on you, they'll fly like a bird. They'll go. The noisy breeds are also the Spanish and the Cornish and the Araucanas, the Leghorns. Those are noisy chickens. If you want to, you know, get noisy chickens, like I said, they don't crow or anything, but they're just noisy.
Right. Around. So if you live in a city neighborhood with neighbors, yeah, 3 feet away, you probably don't want to get noisy chickens.
That's exactly. But Those are a lot of fun. And there's a lot of those chickens I'm going to be trying too. You know, I just always wanted to do that. And there's another interesting article there that I had about getting chickens. A lot of people buy chickens and they just ask me, you know, when do chickens feather out? And I tell them 4 to 6 weeks. You know, when will a rooster crow? They ask me all these questions, you know, when they're buying these little pullets. And I tell them 6 to 8 weeks, they'll start crowing. If you got a rooster, you'll know it. Within 6 to 8 weeks, they'll be crowing. And
sorry, if somebody told you they sold you all females, if
yep.
8 weeks well, old, happens. You all of a sudden hear it.
Yeah, it happens, you know. Even with me, we buy, like I say, 100, 200 chickens at a time, and a lot of times I'll get 6, 8, 10 roosters out of that bunch, because they sex them so fast. These people, when they hatch, they just go through. It's like an assembly line thing, and they miss them. And then of course the famous question is everybody, when will my pullets, that's a young hen, start to lay? And I tell them 20 to 24 weeks they'll start laying. And, you know, everybody gets anxious. Says, yeah, I don't want to wait that long.
I'm like, it's okay. You'll have yeah. so many eggs you won't know what to do with when it starts. So
that's
prepare your friends and family now.
And, yeah, so those are just fun things. Like you're asking me in here, you know, I go by these square footage things. But after 8 weeks, I like to have a chicken have at least 2 to 3 square feet. That's the fun part.
You were talking about handling the chickens, I want to add that not only should you handle them when they're little, but you need to keep handling them through that awkward stage when their feathers are coming in and they don't look as adorable. You know, Joe, we have the monkey nurse on line one to talk to us.
Oh, Renee. Okay.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Renee. How you doing?
How's it going?
Hey, it's going good.
Yeah. Did Nancy call in already?
No, I haven't heard from Nancy.
Oh, I got some of my patients that they said they're going to tune in and call you too.
Oh,
so what's the topic du jour? We talking chicken?
Yeah, we're talking having baby chickens, raising them. Well, and you, I don't know, because you hatch your own. But we're talking about how fragile they are, and we were talking about raising baby chickens and some of the people that don't keep them under heat, and they die really quick and the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I was telling them, you know, how you have to keep them at 90, 95 degrees for the first week and then back it down.
Yep.
So, and boy, you'd know that more than anybody.
100 is good.
You're like 100.
They like it warm.
Yeah.
They like it toasty. Yep. Mm-hmm. Raising chickens ain't for dummies, or ain't for sissies either, for that matter, because you're gonna have losses. That's just the name of the game. If they get wet, they get dead.
Yep, that's so true.
You have to be careful how you water them, and, you know, sometimes you have to put, like, little marbles in a low dish, and you have to use, like, the large – if you're going to use a bedding, you have to use, like, the large chips, because if you use that real small sawdust-type chips, they'll eat it, and then they get all jammed up.
Yep. That's why I was saying that I like the nice big pine shavings. That's the best stuff. I was talking about some people were using kitty litter and the chickens were eating it and dying.
Oh no.
Yeah, so I don't like that. But I like the large pine shaving. Is that that's what you use too? You use the large pine shaving.
I was using that, and then I'll use it when they're real tiny until they get their, you know, until they get their little feet kind of coordinated, and then I move them up to a wire mesh. And that keeps them up off their droppings, because otherwise you're cleaning out that pine shaving pretty regular.
Yeah, I do it almost daily, and in my brooder shed, you know, because I mean that's the other thing, they're always kicking the shavings in the water and in the food.
Yep, they make a big mess. But I tell you, once I raise them up onto even a quarter inch, and then when they get a little bigger, a half inch mesh hardware wire. And I have it raised up, you know, a couple inches off the ground, and then all their droppings and everything falls through. And that way, also, they don't run the risk of getting any food that may have fallen. And maybe, you know, if you don't get it cleaned up right away, if it molds or something, and then you have a whole new issue with them.
Oh, yes. Yes, I know.
Yeah, you don't want moldy food. If they get moldy food, they get dead.
Well, no, I don't. I clean mine. Yeah, I know. That's why I clean mine on a daily basis. I'm in there every morning. We go through this. We clean the shaving so we don't get that.
Oh, I got some other people that want to come meet you, too. They want to check out your chicken operation.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they live right down around the corner from us here.
Oh, they do?
Too. Yep. I told them about the show. So I didn't have your information on me, but I'm going to get them all hooked up.
So well, there you go.
Call in next time.
Yeah, well, next
how's
week,
it going?
You know.
Yeah.
And Joe, where are you located? I know you're in Florida. I'm up here in Boston, Renee, so there's no danger of me going to visit.
Joe's my neighbor. I live down around the corner from him.
Yeah, we're.
I have monkeys,
we're,
too. That's why I'm the monkey nurse.
Yeah, she has monkeys also. That's interesting.
Oh, well, you know, we're almost out of time here, Renee. Will you stick with us for the next segment?
Oh, you mean like to talk to you?
Yeah.
I mean, like okay. Well, for a little bit, because I have to see patients. I mean, I'm actually a real live, you know, I'm an allergy specialist, so I see non-hairy, non-furry children too. So.
Non-feathered, you know, those skin kids. Okay, we'll be right back with more Country Joe's Chicken Show with the monkey nurse Renee on the line with us as well here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk. Now, we have with us Renee, also known as the Monkey Nurse. Renee, I wanted to introduce myself to you and to our listeners. I'm Karen Watts, also known as Karen at PetOfTheDay.com. And over the break, Joe was asking if I got the pictures he sent of his turkey. Pet of the Day is just a website with a photo and story about someone's pet and why they're special every day. So if you had a chicken that was special to you, you could nominate it or even one of your monkeys for Pet of the Day.
That's fun.
Yeah. That'll be fun. You put that on and it stays. How's that go, Ken? You put it on and it stays on all day or something, right?
Yeah,
on,
Facebook page too, or is it just a website?
It's a website, and so each day there's a new Pet of the Day, and it's there for 24 hours. And then after that day, we keep the archive page online, so you can go back and look through 15 years of Pets of the Day, one by one by one. Everybody gets a permanent archive page.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. That's that's fun. Boy, those monkeys would go on there. That one big male monkey you got, you know, he'd be really funny there, the way he smiles.
Oh, yeah, he's cute. And he gives a little bow. Yeah. Yeah, he's sweet. Yeah, they're all real cute. Have to get pictures of little babies, real sweet.
Yeah, she's got a new baby monkey, Karen. A little, just a little thing.
Aw.
You can tell, though.
We are here on the chicken show, though, so
yep. Yeah, I know.
The monkey
we just
sidetracked
on.
on the monkeys. But anyway, the other thing I want to get back to.
The monkeys have actually eaten a few of my chickens. They say they taste good.
But if we get back to hatching chickens, Renee, you know about this. You can buy the small little hatch things that they use in classrooms and stuff. That's a lot of fun.
They work real well. Yeah, the little styrofoam kind and the Brinsea, down in Titusville, Florida, they have a real nice little, like a little small incubator that it's all see-through, so you can actually watch the whole entire process. So it's really great for, like, teachers that want to teach their, you know, the classroom about the hatching and what's involved and all. So it's really a nice little, it's real nice little unit. Of course, you know, I kind of went all out and got the great big, their big giant 400 egg model. And it's,
yeah,
it's
how many can
nice.
You do at a time? You can hatch
I can
how
do,
many?
I can, well, each one holds 400 eggs, chicken eggs. Yep. And then, you know, I also have ducks and guineas and geese and chickens and turkeys and peacocks. So I have, you know, and all the eggs are all different sizes, and it fits any size you want to put in there. It's all adjustable, and it rotates and turns them automatically. So it has an automatic humidity. So you just... It's pretty much set it and forget it, but make sure you take them out before they hatch out, because they need to sit for 3 days before they hatch, so that the little bird can get oriented in the shell.
That sounds a lot of fun.
It's
the burn
like a miracle.
That Burnsea machine sounds a lot of fun.
It's a gorgeous unit. It is just stunning. It's beautiful.
Now, how much are those?
Well,
you know. Right off?
You know, they're not cheap. Yeah. they're about, you know, well, the smaller units are probably $100 or give or take. But when you're getting into your large commercial size, you know, they're about $1,200. But, you know, when you have such automation where everything is perfect and it's all totally programmed and the humidity is perfect, you know, for the perfect conditions, the hatch rate is so much better than... You know, than any of the other units I've ever tried. I also have a hatcher from the Georgia Quail Supply Company, and that does a real good job because it keeps it a higher humidity, and it just, you know, it just sets them. You set them in there the last 3 days before they hatch, and that way they get oriented and they hatch out real well because they need a higher humidity the last 3 days.
Wow. Yeah, I was thinking a lot of people might be interested in trying to hatch their own by buying one of these, like, little Burnsea or the I know the styrofoam ones. I've seen those at the feed store.
The little giant ones and the and I think there's the – I can't remember the other one, but the little giant ones and the other – little styrofoam ones. Or you can even make your own out of, like, a styrofoam cooler. They have all the little parts. You can buy it online.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, some of the members in our little club, in our little chicken group, they actually are making their own. Some, I think one person actually made one out of an old refrigerator that's no longer working as a refrigerator, and they gutted it, and they put in the parts to have it be an incubator.
Yeah, I've heard of that. That sounds interesting. You know, eventually along the line, I'm going to try... To hatch my own. I want to learn that from you, you know, just to try some of my exotic chickens here. But as soon as they start laying, you know, I thought that'd be a lot of fun to watch my own. And for just general information, people want to know, a lot of people, how long does it take? And it's, what, 21 days, right, to hatch an egg?
21 days. Well, I'll tell you, with my Brinsea, it seems like they hatch a little bit earlier, I guess because the temperature is just so consistently perfect. And I don't open the door a lot because once you set them in there, you pretty much just wait until the hatch. And I've actually had them hatch around 18 days. But generally speaking, 21 days is a general rule. And then you can give or take 3 days. And you're not supposed to mess with them too much the last 3 days. It's kind of crucial that they keep that humidity high or else they get stuck. They get too sticky in the shell and they can't turn. And that's a critical thing. The little chick has to be able to turn in that shell so it can pip. And it pips through with a little egg tooth, they call it, on that little beak. And then it will chip all the way around in a circle and then it pops it off like a little pop top.
Wow.
No, it's like a miracle. It's like the miracle of birth every day.
Yeah. See, you knew more about that than I did. I've never hatched any chickens.
It was so much fun. You really should try it.
Yeah, that sounds fun. That sounds like a fun thing to do. But of course, you just. But being down the street, it's so easy just to go down to your place.
Yeah, just come down to my place. That's fine. I'll take care of them for you. You can have parental visitation rights.
That sounds fun. That sounds fun.
But so, hatching your own eggs sounds pretty complicated. Is that something you would recommend a beginner to try? Or do you think if somebody is getting into chickens for the very first time, they might be better off starting with baby chicks? What do you think, Renee?
Well, starting out with chicks is great. You know, you can go to the post office and you pick up your little shipment of chicks, or you go to the feed store. But there's nothing that kind of makes a mother out of you is hatching your own, and it's really not that hard. It really isn't. You know, if you have if the conditions are right, and it's really not that difficult. It's not rocket science or anything. So you stick little eggs in there, and you have a little water trough, and you make sure the water trough is full to keep the humidity, and you have a little thermometer with a hydrometer to make sure it's the right temperature and the right humidity. And even those little styrofoam ones, they do a good job. But what happens is you get so addicted because it's like a miracle every day, and they're all so different. And when they hatch out, they're just so darn cute. You just have to do more.
It's true.
So you might want to hatch your own chickens, but beware that it's addictive.
It is.
Like potato chips.
Yeah.
You can't just have one. I just put another 50 eggs in the incubator the other day. So. But it's a lot of fun.
I'd recommend it. Is there a good online resource? We've got a couple minutes left in this segment. Is there a good website or online resource where people could read about how to go about hatching your own chicken?
I'll tell you that there's so much information online. It's just totally insane. I mean, if you put hatching chicks or hatching eggs, you will come up with, 26 million websites. and there's as much information out there as what you could ever stand. It's like drinking out of a fire hydrant. There's just way too much information. You can always get, there's a couple books that I would say recommend. And one is Chicken Raisin for Dummies. And the other is The Idiot's Guide to Chicken Raising. And you pretty much can't go wrong with either one of those books. They're real down to earth. They put everything just in layman's terms, and any information you could possibly ever want, it's right there at your fingertips.
Well, wow. Excellent. We're just about out of time for this segment.
Okay.
But if anybody has questions about hatching chickens, you can, again, go to allpawspettalk.com. There's a form right there on the homepage, and type your questions right there, and we'll answer them next week here on All Paws Pet Talk Chicken Joe's show. And we'll be right back with more.
I'm a green chicken.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand. A true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Rearrange my family tree.
Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk.
Hey, we're back here. We're talking about baby chicks and hatching your own and buying them from a hatchery and what's more fun and what's easier. And it all depends on, I guess, it would be the amount of time that you can devote to it, I guess. I have never hatched chickens, and I've had literally thousands of chickens through here, and I've never hatched any myself. But, boy, it sure sounds fun, and I'm sure I'm going to be trying it, especially with Renee down the street. With her, she went out. There was a woman that just jumped in it. I mean, just like diving into it. She decided one day she was going to get into chickens, and boy, did she. She built all the coops and bought the big hatchers and the whole thing. And that's really fun. But she's mostly got the time, and she only works like a couple days a week. She works part-time, so she has plenty of time to devote to hatching her own chickens. And so
I'm sure she regards the chickens as more her full-time job, and her paying job is
yes.
The other one.
Well, that's what happens, even with me. You know, I have other businesses that I run, but I'm always looking forward to coming home to do my chickens and my farm and the whole deal. And it's always I guess I'm addicted to chickens, like Nancy tells me. I'm always thinking all day long, you know, oh, I've got to do this, or I want to make a that, or, you know, I go through the chicken books and I'll say, oh, God, I got to get this and I got to get that. And I do. And my wife just goes, oh, boy, here we go. But it's never a problem when it comes Christmas or birthdays for me, because they just buy me chicken stuff. But that's the fun part. But, yeah, raising chickens is a lot of fun. It's just a little bit of common sense will take you really a long ways down the road. And like you say, online or the books, if you go to places like Barnes and Noble or whatnot, you can buy, all kinds of, you know, books on raising chickens and chickens 101 and the whole thing, chickens for dummies, and it's a lot of fun. And the thing that I find interesting is so many different breeds of chickens that you can get, just about virtually any color, any kind, and they sell all of these, and they're so easy to take care of. The neighbor of ours down the road has an old truck top that fits on the back of a pickup truck, and he built a 2x4 frame underneath it, put that on the top, and he's got a chicken coop, and he's got about 8-10 chickens, and it works out great for him. But there's so many inventions that you come up with when you get a chicken, you know, where to keep it and whatnot. And that's not even the problem. You know, once you get them up 6-8 weeks, you pretty much, they sell these things. They're called chicken tractors. They're actually little coops on wheels, and you can move them all around your lawn, and the chicken stays in there. And eats the grass and the bugs and the whole thing. And you can move it anytime you want. It's got handles on it and wheels. Those are the new fun things that everybody's getting that has, you know, a large backyard or something fun. So that's another way to go. I have 80-foot coops, so I don't let mine run loose, because the hawks around here know Joe's Chicken Farm.
That's so right. You have to not only be concerned about protecting your chickens from wandering off, you need to protect them from predators, because just about every wild animal out there looks at your chicken as lunch.
Oh, boy, and especially out where I live. I mean, I'm surrounded by woods, and I have literally seen bobcats out here, and I've caught a gray fox out here. I mean, the big catch 'em alive trap. I swear he came back, because I've caught two gray fox, and they all look alike. But I took this one gray fox. It had to be a good 20, 25 miles away from here, and dropped him off. And about a month later, I caught another gray fox, and I thought, it can't be the same one. But anyways, I took him out there and dropped him off. But raccoons and possum, where we are just rampant. I set sometimes three of those catch 'em alive traps a day. And the next morning, it's nothing to have all three of them full with raccoons and possums, and load them in the back of my pickup truck, and we go for rides. But it's just an endless, endless, endless thing. It'll slow down for a while, but boy, back they come. And going back to young chickens, this is just an easy feast for them if they can get them, because if they can get their paws inside the chicken wire, they'll grab them. So that's why it's important to have your chickens, especially young chickens, because they're really not chicken smart yet. So we're
that's right. They're very vulnerable, and even your neighbors' cats and dogs.
Oh, easy. Yes, cats just love young chickens. We have barn cats here because of the rodent problem. Whenever you got grain, you got mice and whatnot. So I have a lot of barn cats, and boy, oh boy, I'll tell you, you want to be careful because rats and mice will get after your baby chickens. Believe it or not, but I've had it all. I think here the only thing I haven't had is weasels, and thank God for that. But anything else, but the hawks and the owls are rampant around here. So I don't let my baby chickens run loose. And a lot of people around here do. And my neighbors would tell me, oh, yeah, I know what you mean, Joe. You know, we were sitting on our porch and a hawk came down and swiped up one of our young chickens. And that happens a lot around here. I don't know about anywhere else, but that'd be fun to hear from other people to see if they have that problem too. But so that's why I don't free range my chickens, young or old. Just for that problem, and or my turkeys either. But Renee, we were talking to Renee. Renee has loves guinea hens, and guinea hens, we were talking earlier, are really excellent to let them run around your yard for fleas and ticks. And she lets them all run around, and I don't know if she's had any problems with hawks. And she only lives a couple miles away from me, but that'd be interesting to ask her that. And I'm sure if I'm having problems, she is too.
That's right. Well, guinea hens are kind of lower to the ground, I think, than chickens. So maybe they disguise
faster.
Themselves. Yes.
Yeah. And they love to hunt in bushes and stuff. So they're probably not as vulnerable. But the other, let me see, it was about 3 weeks ago now. I've got a picture of it. I've got a great big tree just outside of my chicken coops, and one morning I went out there, and believe it or not, there was a bald eagle sitting in the tree, and I thought, oh God, here we go.
That's
again,
right. Because they're scavengers, they're predators.
Yep.
So
yeah.
They
yep.
may be beautiful, but that doesn't mean they're not deadly as well.
Oh, I know. And you know, I thought, boy, now I've had hawks, I've had owls, now I got a bald eagle hanging around. So I haven't seen them since. But those are all the things that I worry about free-range chickens, and everybody likes to free-range their chickens, but I'm really not a big advocate of free-ranging chickens.
And I know up here in Boston, we have hawks by every highway, and even in buildings in the city, you see them nesting on ledges in the skyscrapers. So, you know, if we build them a cliff, they can nest on that too. So just it doesn't matter where you are in the country. I think there are birds of prey that you need to be able to protect your chickens from.
Yep, and especially young chickens. Like I say, that's why I leave old and young right, and I give them plenty of coop room, and I plan on that when I build my coops, and people should too, if they're even buying 6 or 8 chickens. If you're going to be right out there with them, in the yard, if you're going to be sitting with them, I guess it's okay to let them out because they won't run away. I've never had, of course, you know, I've got the amount of chickens where I'm not going to let 500 chickens. But 6 or 8 of them out on the lawn, when you're out there with them, it's fine. And putting them back, I suppose that's okay. Nancy lets her chickens run loose, but she has just a few dozen that she lets run at a time. So I guess that's fine. But I just really get the heebie-jeebies about leaving them alone.
That's right, because as much as we love them, we also want to protect them.
Oh, God, yes. You know, and that's why I say I'd hate to lose some of my really rare chickens. That, you know, that just scares me because I'm really starting to collect those now. That was my other thing is my rare chickens. Those are my pride and joy. Those are my fun things.
That's right, and we don't want them to be anyone's lunch. We're almost out of time for this segment, and
okay.
We'll be right back with more Country Joe's Chicken Show, where we also mention guinea hens and turkeys and other kinds of poultry, too.
Dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, liquid. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, liquid. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. She said, rearrange my family tree. A chicken is what I want to be.
Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on All Paws Pet Talk. And one thing I wanted to get in today is that you can also listen to any of the All Paws Pet Talk shows on WPETTalkRadio.com. But you can always go to the AllPawsPetTalk.com website and ask Chicken questions for Chicken Joe or any of our hosts. Now,
yeah,
you're talking about some of your rare chickens, Joe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are my new hobby in the chicken business. Is I just love rare chickens. Like I said, I've talked about those before. There's many, many chickens that have gone extinct, and which is a sad thing if you're a chicken lover. But I love raising the rare chickens, and I have some chickens that are, there's less than 1,000 of them in the world. Some I have, there's only 5,000 of them in the world, and I have a pair now. The golden campines, and I just love them to death. And those are, matter of fact, I got a rooster and a hen, and I play with them all the time, and they're my pets. I named them Mac and Cheese. and they actually think they know their names. But, those, when I'm in the barn area, I let them out of the coop and they run inside of the barn. They have a very big area, but you know, I've made such pets of them that they're a lot of fun. You know, they'll come to me. I can pick them up. I can talk to them and handle them. And those are my pet chickens that I really handle. The layers are like the working chickens. I'll go in there and when I collect eggs, they'll jump on my back and they run all through my feet and everything. So they're used to me. Of course, when you raise them from day old, they get used to you. And I'm basically the only person they really see. I mean, other people come like Renee and the other neighbors. The chickens will look at them, but they really, really get really friendly. And that's the fun thing. Turkeys don't. except for Lucky, you know, but I've had Lucky now going on 3 years. So, but that's the fun part. But I love rare chickens, and I'm looking now to build yet another coop. And my wife's going, oh God, not another coop. And here we go again. Hey, you know, we're filling up out here really quick. I got a big U shape of out there in my back. I call it my back 40 with coops, 80-foot coops, and we're dividing them up. Now I'm building an apartment house type thing that's going to go about 100 feet long with 12-foot sections for each one of my sets of rare chickens that I picked out that I say, oh, here's the next set of chickens. And the fun thing is that I don't even tell my wife I'm ordering them now, because we got so many chickens, meat chickens and turkeys that come in here all the time. So I just order them, and she'll walk out there and she'll go, when'd you get these?
So what other rare breeds do you have besides the Golden Campions?
Okay. I've got these, they call them Black Spanish. They're very old Mediterranean breed. They're very, very, very old. They're solid black, and as they mature very slowly, and as they get older, they get a white face. And it's really, really interesting. They're a lot of fun. I love those. And the other ones that I haven't got yet that I want to get is we talked about the Malays, and those are a lot of fun. Those are the big ones that can get three feet tall, and I want to get those. And there's another kind of chicken that I want to get that I do have now. It's called a white Polish. I have those, and white Sultans, and they're more of an exotic chicken. The white Sultans are really a lot of fun. They're exotic looking. They even grow feathers down on their feet, and they're kind of a rare chicken, and they're a very old breed. They originated in southeastern Europe, and they got their name, the Sultans,
by the rulers of Turkey and all of that. And they came to England in the 1850s. It's an extremely rare breed, but
I've seen one of those, and they look like they're wearing little pantaloons because they do. They have feathers all the way down.
Yep, and you can't see their eyes. The feathers grow right over their head, and they're pure white. I mean, a really deep white. So I just got seven of those. And there's another one that comes out that's kind of really rare. It's called a top hat. And the whole top of his head is all feathers. And, like, it looks like a Phyllis Diller wig, you know. And so I got one of those. And, well, actually, I got two of those, but the rooster really, really sticks out. And some of the other ones that I really, really, really want to get that I don't have, that's why I'm building, they got another one called a phoenix. I don't know if you've ever heard of those. They were developed in Japan, and they grow long. The roosters will grow like 12-foot tail feathers. And the reason they do that is because they don't actually molt. The chickens molt every year, but these don't. And so the tail feathers on a phoenix will get – I've heard people say they can get 20 feet long.
And wow.
That's my next rare chicken that I really, really want to go with. So they're really – I guess they're unusual. I've never seen one. I've never heard of anybody in this area. But like I said, they were bred in Japan, and they can get 20 feet long, the tails. I've seen pictures of them. So I've always wanted to try a phoenix. But that's the fun part about getting into chickens is you start finding these rare chickens and then trying to find where you can get them. And the Sumatras, I talked about the black Sumatras. These are chickens that can fly just as well as any bird. They can fly for 5 miles straight and not even land. These kind of chickens you want to not start with, because these are kind of like expert type chicken, but these are extremely critical. These are almost extinct. They come from Southeast Asia, and they're really, really, they're very beautiful. They're black, pitch black, and the roosters have large tails on them. But those are my next one. But like I say, they're considered really critical. So extremely rare.
That's right. And so it's important whenever you're talking about any kind of animal to pay attention to what species are out there and to do your research before getting them, you know, and to not just, as you mentioned, those are absolutely beautiful chickens, but as they can fly for 5 miles, if you're a first-time chicken person, that's yep. probably not the chicken for you.
No, because if they get out, they're gone.
That's right. You know, and people forget, I think, sometimes that chickens and turkeys can fly. Where I live in the Boston area, there are a fair number of wild turkeys in certain neighborhoods. And the funniest thing is watching, you know, this thing that looks like a huge bird that we had like four or five of them that grew up in our neighborhood a couple of years ago. And they would perch on the fence 4 feet off the ground. And it just looked completely unusual, because, you know, it's like bowling balls on a twig. It doesn't look like it would work, but it does just fine. So It's things that you have to be aware of.
And it's true. When I first started doing turkeys a long time ago, I bought 8 of them, and I put them in a coop that didn't have a top on it. And I went out one morning to watch them fly away. You know, and they were young, too. They were very young. And it surprised me, and I went, oh, God, there they go. And I tried to lure them back, never did get them back, and I'm sure they're living very happily out in the woods somewhere.
Making more little wild turkeys. The most amazing thing was one day one decided it was going to nap on my roof, and so we went out to take its picture, and it decided that it would fly to our neighbor's house, and they are capable, but they're not really good flyers. Mm-hmm. And so It made an awful lot of noise. But seeing a wild turkey fly right over our heads was a spectacle that neither myself or my husband will ever forget.
Isn't that – that's fun. God. But there's just an endless amount. I have all these books on these rare chickens. Like I say, my white – they call them white-faced black Spanish. That's the true name of these critical chickens that I have, and the golden campines. And then I have another one called red caps. these are extremely critical. It's an old English breed that I eventually, after I get all my coops built, I am going to own. These are another one that you have to be kind of an expert at.
We're out of time this week for Country Joe's Chicken Show, but I'm sure we can talk about those next week.
And hey,
more guests and much more to talk about. After all, we know he's Chicken Joe, addicted to chickens, here on
yes.
All Paws Pet Talk Radio.